Glory be to God. We're continuing our series on Love Not the World. Love Not the World. It's been a couple of weeks, so let's kind of do a little review. Let's go back to the foundation text of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, reading verses 15 through 17. In fact, we'll read that together. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 7 through 17. Glory be to God. All right, verse 15, and read, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." Amen. Maybe my version was a little different. All right, so notice we said that world is mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Three times in verse 15 alone. One, twice in 16 and one in 17. You think he's trying to get a point across? Love not the world. He could have said, nor the things in it. But he mentioned world again. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. For what is in the world, what's in the world? Desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, pride of life, is not from the Father, but is of the world. And if the world is passing away along with its desires, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. That's crucial. Amen? Amen. Let's go back over the third word, at least in the ESV. Do not love the world. Love. Let's look at the word love. Do not love world. We went over this, but it bears repeating. Love. I've added some more since last time. Agapao is the Greek word. He says, don't love the world. In the Greek, it's present active imperative. Now, for my Greek scholars, we're going over this quite a bit. Present means ongoing. I was about to fall out. Thank you. You saved me. We were going over this ad nauseum. Present means ongoing. It's ongoing, meaning it's always happening. Active means what? You're doing it. You're the one doing it. As opposed to passive, meaning it's happening to you. Active means you're doing it. So they're doing it. Imperative what? Command. Give the command. So this is something that is ongoing that they were doing that they're being commanded to stop doing. So again, it says, do not love the world. Should be better translated, stop loving the world because it was ongoing and they were doing it. So he's commanding them, stop this. Stop it. Love refers to a fondness, an affection for an object. Why? Because you value it. You're fond of it. You have affection for it because you value it. That's not what I meant. It is a love of admiration and of esteem. Well, if you value, see, here's a key thing here. If you value it, you're going to be fond of it. You're going to have affection for it. You're going to admire it and you're going to esteem it. The key thing in all of this is because you value it. I value the things of the world. Because if you don't value something, guess what? You're not going to be fond of it. You're not going to have an affection for it. You're certainly not going to admire it or esteem it. But if you value it, you will do those things. I think this wasn't on here before. I think we added this. To take pleasure in the thing that you are valuing. To prize it above other things. To be willing to abandon it or do without it. To welcome with desire, to long for. Go back again. That's what we add. That's why I went back to this word that we covered 2 weeks ago. Going back to this word, I've added this to get a little bit more of a handle on what this word means when he says don't do it. It means to take pleasure in this case, the things of the world. It means to prize the things of the world above other things, and this would be the things of God. Notice to prize above other things, not equal to, because it's either one is going to be above, one is going to be below. One or the other. You can't serve God and man or money. Either you're going to love the things of God and not love the things of the world, or you're going to love things of the world and not love the things of God. One is going to be above. So it means to prize above other things. To be unwilling to abandon. I don't want to give it up. I'm unwilling to give it up. Or do without. Nope, I'm not letting it go. I enjoy it. I value it too much. I'm fond of it. Have an affection for it. I admire it. And I'm unwilling to abandon it or to do without it. In that case, then, if you're unwilling to abandon it, what you're going to do, you're going to keep welcome with desire. You welcome with desire. I really want that. And lastly, you long for it. What? The things of the world. This is what was going on with them. And he's telling them, you need to stop doing it. This was ongoing. Stop doing that. Stop loving the world. Stop loving the world. Can you see why this is a major problem amongst the people of God? Because you got all of this going on for the world. And it clearly says in verse 17, verse 16, that all of this is not from the Father, but is from the world. So whatever you are fond of and you're valuing and esteeming and admiring and taking pleasure in and unwilling to abandon or do without, you welcome the desire, you're longing for it, you're longing for something and desiring something that is not of God. And he's telling them they need to stop it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 10. We'll dig into Demas a little bit more later when we go over those examples of those who fell in love with the world. Yeah. Nephew, if you want to get out the office, you can. It's up to you. Do not love the world. Look at Demas chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy 4, 10. For Demas, comma, in the ESV, in love with this present world, comma, has deserted and forsaken me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. We're going to get in that a little bit more, how heartbreaking that is. Demas, in love with this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Does that deserted me imply that he once was in partner with him? He was in ministry. I'll tell you that he was. He was in partnership with the great apostle Paul in ministry. And the world came a-calling, and he went. We said about this word that it is present imperative. We said that already. Prohibiting an action that was already going on, forbidding the continuance of an action already going on. That's what that means. Again, we were talking about present. To forbid the continuance of an action already going on. Let me see if I can put that on here. Yeah, forbidding the continuance of an action already going on. And that's what present is. Continuance. You can't imagine what the Lord is thinking of his people who are this kind of in love with the world. Well, I know what he thinks of, because he says in an opening text, that the love of the Father is not in them. So you can't be saved and be in love like this with the world. He said the love of the Father is not in them. And that's another way of saying that you are not saved, because those who are saved have the love of God set abroad in them, right? Romans 5:5 said, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed abroad by the Holy Spirit. Thank you. And so if he specifically says in our foundation text that if you love to this degree that the love of the Father is not in you, that's another way of saying you are not saved. You're not a child of God. Strong action. And we see that since this was what was going on, then it's safe to say that the Holy Spirit, in writing the letter through the Apostle John to the readers, that those readers were still loving the world. The world system. And of course, we all have been saved out of the world system, not to later go back and rejoin it. Amen. Let's get into cosmos world. We went over this last time, that world can sometimes mean the physical universe or the creation. It can sometimes mean the physical creation. So sometimes can mean the physical creation. We went over that. We talked about Acts 17:24, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, talking about the world. And Genesis 1:31, that everything he made was very good. We saw in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. So the physical creation actually brings glory to God. So he's not saying don't love the physical creation, because that actually brings glory to God. Secondly, the word can refer to mankind. It can refer to rather the earth as to where man lives. All right. So secondly, it can refer to the earth as the habitation of mankind. Okay. And then thirdly, it can also refer to mankind, the actual human race as a whole. So it can refer to where man lives, and then it can refer to man as a whole, the world. Refers to mankind as a whole. Okay, so we got that it refers sometimes to the physical creation, sometimes the earth where man lives, sometimes it refers to the human race as a whole. I know I was putting it up there double, but amen. And then fourthly, it can refer to, be used metaphorically, as possessions, necessities needful to sustain life. And we got that from 1 John 3:17. 1 John 3:17. We use there. New wealth, possessions, and necessities needful to obtain or maintain life. 1 John 3:17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? So in this case, it refers to the world, which refers to the wealth, possession, and necessities needful to sustain life, and in that sense. Now, in this passage, the word world refers to, and I'm just, it's better to put it up there so that I can show you, but I can tell you. It refers to okay, everyone and everything, everyone and everything that is hostile, hateful, antagonistic towards God and his believers. I know Miss Sarah said this after 7, you know. But once you can see it, because it is a lot. Everyone and everything that is hostile, hateful, antagonistic towards God. And his believers. You know me, I like to overword stuff, so I repeat it again. Everyone and everything that is opposed to and exhibits strong animosity, ill feelings, and bitterness toward God and his believers. So this right here that is opposed to, exhibits strong animosity, ill feelings, and bitterness, really kind of are synonyms for these words like hostile, antagonistic. Kind of just rewording those ways in another way. Do you understand? Am I going too fast? Okay. And the reason that I went with several definitions, because it's important that we understand what the word world means. In this case. So here's another part of this. As a result, this word refers to the world and the persons in it as an evil keyword system, which really refers to a way of life that is in the power of the evil one and therefore is friendly to the false teachers. Refers to the world and the persons in it as an evil system, a way of life. Any questions on that? Don't worry, it gets worse. It doesn't get worse, it just explains even more. Here's some more to it. refers to an ordered system. The ways of this world, its thoughts, comma, ideas, opinions, maxims, which are sayings and proverbs, theories, mannerisms, speech, style, speculations, hopes, impulses, aspirations, and habits. Aspirations are in sort of dreams and goals and objectives and habits. That covers the gambit. Sometimes we think of the world as just things. But they're not just things. They're thoughts, they're ideas. And they're ideologies, their opinions. So notice all of that. That's what 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 are talking. These are what lead to strongholds and fortresses in the mind. Our thoughts, opinions, ideas, reasonings, theories. The Big Bang is called a Big Bang what? Theory. It's just a theory. You don't tell me ideas don't have consequences? They most certainly do. Absolutely. The theory of evolution is being taught as if it were a fact, but it's a theory. Just something that someone made up. So when I say, hey, the world covers all of this, you best believe it does. And it needs to be pointed out. I know this is just overmuch, but it's overmuch on purpose. Because if you think about it, he's saying, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. This is the world and the things that are in the world. And what's in the world may surprise us if it's just something that appears as innocent as and harmless and innocuous as ideas and opinions. No, they're not innocuous. They're not harmless. And I don't know why it's doing this, but as long as you can kind of pick out what it is saying, I appreciate that. Yeah, so that's the. Here's some more. And boy, if you're able to take these notes, you can always refer to these at any time. And that would be a huge blessing to be able to do that. The sum total. The sum total of human life in the ordered world. Well, human life, if you go back here, is made up of all of these things here. Opinions, ideas, habits, hopes, impulses, and all of that. So it just sums it up. The sum total of human life in the ordered world, considered apart from, alienated from, and hostile to God, and of the earthly things which seduce from God. And this is quoted in the Kenneth Vest commentary from theologian Vincent. The sum total of human life in the ordered world, remember, cosmos is orderly as opposed to chaos, considered apart from, alienated from and hostile to God, and of the earthly things which seduce from God. That's what the worldly things do. That's what the things of the world do. They seduce you from God. They pull you from God. You almost could stop just after this definition, just to let it breathe for a moment. Okay. Cosmos, here is the ordered system of which Satan is the head, his fallen angels slash demons, because the fallen angels, another name for demons, are his emissaries. What are they? Ambassadors or messengers. They carry it out. And the unsaved of the human race are his subjects who are under his power. Together with those purposes, pursuits, pleasures, practices, and places where God is not wanted. Much in this world system is religious, cultured, refined, and intellectual, but it is anti-God and anti-Christ. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. No matter how smooth it look, how juicy it sounds, how refined it, Satan is the most subtle beast on the field. Yeah, there's crazy people out there. But you have to realize that the greatest damage is being done on these ideologies that are being passed by, by cultured, educated, high class, big money people, movers and shakers. Not just somebody in the hood, in the street, or in Appalachia, whether it be the white hood or the black hood. It's folks who are cultured and refined. And he's warning us that, forget all that, realize in the end, it's anti-God and anti-Christ. Everything in the world. If you go back to the part where it says that everything, if I can go back up. Everything and everyone that is hostile and hateful, antagonistic, strong as of animosity, ill feeling. We told just before, bear with me. The theory of evolution, at the root of that theory, is what?
Antichrist, against God.
Right, right. The word I want is
atheism.
There's no God. Because if you believe that there's no God, then hey, I'm free to come up with any theory I want as to how man started. And if these folks is gullible enough to believe it, because I'm a doctor so-and-so, hey, get a few more of my guys to say, yeah, then maybe we can put this thing out there. And here we are. From Darwin in the 1800s till 2021. Not only has it kind of petered out and kind of maybe just mentioned on the back burner, no, it's gained so much steam that it is again taught as fact. Culture refined, yet it is anti-temple, strong animosity, you feeling bitterness toward God. That's where that's rooted out of. Refers to the world and the person in it as an evil system. And that evil system has thoughts and ideas and opinions and impulses and hopes and speech and styles that are all out of God's, that are all anti-God. Because it's designed to alienate, because of the whole ordered system is apart from God. Remember it says that we were without God and without hope in this world? Yeah. When we were in the world, we were without God. Or without Christ, one of them. And without hope. This is apart from God, alienated from God, hostile to God. And you can see who's in control. Satan is the head. He's the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The fallen angels, known as demons, are his ambassadors, his messengers. They carry out his work. And the unsaved are his loyal subjects. So if he's king, these are people on his staff. And the human race are his subjects under his control. And the word of God speaks on all of that. But in the end, remember, it is anti-God and it is anti-Christ. Everything in the world is anti-God and anti-Christ. world, the man-centered, Satan-directed system of this world. Man-centered, Satan-directed system of this world. Hostile to God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Christian. It's not talking about the physical earth. Kind of went over that. But also everything that's hostile to God. If you're following God, then he's hostile to you. And I don't think we fully understand that either. It's not just God he's hostile towards, but also to everything that is connected with God. And lastly, and we'll finish out the word world. Lastly, let's see if we can. World refers to the values of the world, all the mores, which are customs. This word here, mores, which are customs, habitual patterns, etc., of the world, the lifestyle of the world, the ethics of the world, the morals of the world, the institutions of the world as they are established apart from an antagonist to God. This is almost, that's your summary definition. Summarizes all of it. Word refers to the values, the mores, which are customs and habits of the world, the lifestyle, the ethics, the morals, the institutions, as they are established apart from an antagonistic to God. Apart from an antagonistic to God. That command is thick. Love not the world. It seems so innocent. Seems sort of, you know, no really a big deal. Okay, we can just don't love the world, you know. You know, just, and I'm not sure what we thought the world meant. We maybe might have picked out something here or there, and I realized that it covers a whole gambit. The values, the mores, their customs and habitual patterns. We picked up a lot of customs in the world because of the fact that we weren't saved right off the rip. So we learned a lot of things. We learned a lot of habits and patterns. The lifestyle of the world, meaning the way they think, speak, and do of the world. The ethics of the world. Things that they're the ethical and morals. I mean, their morals are way different from ours. For abortion, it's murder for us. For them, it's a woman's right to choose. And that's just way different. Homosexuality is a sin. Their same-sex marriage is same-sex. Not only can you have sex with the same sex, but you can actually marry. And it is approved and praised and uplifted. We live in a society now where Bruce Jenner, married to his wife for many, many years, grown children, is left his family, and he is celebrated and made the person of the year. Can you imagine the pain and agony that his wife and children went through? We as Christians need to think about that. The world is celebrating Bruce Jenner, and I refuse to call him Caitlyn. I refuse. You talking about morals and ethics? The lifestyle of the world, you celebrate that? You have just completely destroyed a family. That woman having committed suicide. Seeing her husband paraded all over the world and recognized, wow, I was with him for many years, had several children by him. And I now see him not only just my husband, but as a female, presenting as a female. That is completely antagonistic to God. It's completely, this word has been completely established apart from God. Can you see why it says, love not the world? Why would you want to love the world? Why? Not saying that we're not going to be tempted by it. Sure. But to just go back and be in love with it, where you're just in love with it right here. No, you're just fond of it. Great effect. You value it and you're unwilling to do without it. No. It's in between being tempted by the things of the world and you fail that temptation for that moment, but not going back to where you are in love with it like you once were. Does that make sense? I'm not saying you won't ever be tempted by the things of this world, but as a Christian, you're never going to be unwilling to do to abandon or do without the things of this world. Because when the Lord speaks to you through the Holy Spirit, and your spirit is grieved and disturbed, and you're like David, where your whole physical and physiological and biological process that's working in your body begins to break down because of the heaviness of sin. You just can't keep rolling that way. When you grieve the Holy Spirit and you quench him, you're messed up behind that. Your conscience is going off. Body not working right. So you will never get back to this. But you can see why the world is such an ugly place. And I'm not talking about the human beings. We're talking about, again, all that the world refers to. The values, the mores, the customs, the habits, the lifestyle, the ethics, the morals, the institutions. And here's key that has been established apart from God. Established apart from and antagonistic. Not only is it established apart from God, but it is openly antagonistic to God. Hostile. And we say, remember the bottom line, that it is anti-God and anti-Christ. We're going to stop there. That's enough. I'm going to stop there. When we come back next, actually, that's where we stopped last time, but that's good. We still need to hear that again. Just kind of meditate that. Go over that and over it and over it. And over it and over it. Who's in charge of it? Remember that? Satan is the head of this world. Right? 2 Corinthians 4:4. Whom the God of this world. He's talking about the world system. The man-centered, Satan-directed system of this world. Which is hostile to God. Hostile to Christ Jesus our Lord. Hostile to the indwelling counsel of the Holy Spirit. And hostile to us. We got to remember we're in there too. If you dare walk with God, it's not just God they hate and are bitter and openly antagonistic towards God. Where's some of those words right here? Bitter, ill feeling, strong animosity. That's why we added toward God and his believers. That's why Jesus said, marvel not. I mean, Jesus said, the world going to hate you. But know and remember that it hated me before it hated you. We're going to get into all of that. Father God, Father God, Father God. Help us to never love the world. And whenever we are tempted to do so, just to tip back in it just a touch. I ask that you remind us strongly, don't you dare do that. Why would you be fond of something that hates me and you because you're my child? That has strong animosity, bitterness, and hatred toward me. Help us to stay focused on you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Let's prepare for offering. If you need an offering envelope, please lift a hand where you are. One will be given to you. If you need an offering envelope. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please lift one hand where you are and one will be given to you. Thank you, Lord God. Or prayer request form. Offering envelope or prayer request form. Thank you, Lord Jesus.